All right, turn with me to Psalm 1. Psalm 1. This is the text that we felt like the Lord instructed us to start off the year with, and that God wanted to bring us in our lives to a place of fruitfulness, a place where His life is working in us, but through us, and that things are happening around us and outside of us. And Psalm 1 gives us a perfect picture of what that looks like, but it also gives us the prerequisites for that to happen. Psalm 1 says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." All right, so we see two things happening in this blessed man. In that we saw, and we took a number of weeks in the beginning of the year to talk about, that our meditation must be on the Word of God. And that word meditate in the original Hebrew is to mutter. That is, that it's something that's in our heart, and it is something that it's on our mouth. And we talked about speaking to our mountain, and that life and death are in the power of the tongue, and how we can unleash our tongue for good rather than destruction in our life. But the first verse, it talks about the man and the associates that he has in his life. In verse 3, that when these things are right, there's a wonderful result. "He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." Now, prosperity is a buzzword in the last 10, 15, 20 years. Oh, some people say this is a prosperity church. Well, how many of you know we're guilty as accused? All right. Prosper in the Hebrew language means to successfully finish a journey. And the Word of God makes it very clear that he who began a good work in you, he will complete it. So God is very much into prosperity. And prosperity is not just about your bling on your car or how shiny your shoes are, but it's about successfully living the life of God that he has for you. All right. And so he wants this for you. He wants there to be fruit in your life. He wants there to be success, you doing his will and making it to the end. So we want to take some time and look at that, the first verse, Psalm 1:1. And what this is telling us is that we will be blessed when we have certain people in our life, and we will be blessed when we do not have certain people in our life. Can you see that? All right. So we want to ask ourselves a question. And really this is going to be very personal just for you in the next few weeks. Because really you're going to have to take stock. You're going to have to do an inventory. You're going to have to look in your own life to see who's on your team and who's not on your team. Who needs to be on your team and who needs to be off of your team. All right. Who are the people that you are walking with, that you're standing with, and that you are seated with? Who are those people? How are they described? What type of people? Because they hold a very powerful force in your life. Now, let's look at a, we want to use this as our text in Proverbs 13 and verse 20. Proverbs 13 and verse 20. It is a very simple verse, but it is extremely powerful. It is very far-reaching. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20. "He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed." Now, how many of you would love to be more wise than you are right now? All right, you can lift up your spouse's hand. That's allowed. All right, you can You know they need to be more wise, all right? We all want wisdom. We all seek education. We all want to better ourselves. I believe that many, many of you, that's why one of the reasons why you came to church this morning. Father, I want to grow in the wisdom of your word. I want to follow you. That's why we open up the Bible. That's why we ask, Father, I don't know what to do right now. I need your wisdom. And we seek that. One of the things that I know our church values greatly is the education of your children and people and young people here who seek out to enhance their life through wisdom. And as important as schools are, there are people that go to good schools and yet they get destroyed. Why? Because they don't follow this verse. At a good school, they have surrounded themselves with fools and they get destroyed. All right. But notice it says, he who walks with wise men will be wise. How many of you think that I can do that? I can find people smarter than me. All right. For some of us, that's not as hard as it seems. Finding people smarter than us. Amen. And so when we walk with them, remember Psalm 1 talked about walking. And really that's talking about doing life together. Where they go, you go. Where you go, they go. You are together close enough that you're hanging out. So when you hang out with wise people, you become wise. What the Bible is saying is it rubs off. Wisdom is contagious. Amen. Isn't that wonderful news? Now here's the other part of the news that's not so wonderful, but is just as true, and that is foolishness is also contagious. It rubs off. You can catch it, and you are if you're around the wrong people. The companion of fools. Notice it doesn't say the companion of fools will be foolish. It says the companion of fools will be destroyed. Because that is the end result. That is the path that foolishness, what the Bible refers to a fool, becomes, is destroyed. New Living Translation puts it this way. Whoever walks with wise men will become wise. And whoever walks with fools will suffer harm. Message Bible says, hang out with fools and watch your life fall to pieces. How many of you have a testimony about that verse? Anybody? When your life fell to pieces, you had some help. You had some people influencing you. You had some people cheering you on as your life fell to pieces. Am I right? And both godliness and ungodliness is going to be greatly enhanced by the people who are around you. All right. Now, what we want to communicate to you today is that the people that you surround yourself with and the people who are on your inner circle, your friends, your advisors, those close to you, all of those people are your choice. They're your choice. God did not send them to you. You chose them. The people that are around you, or if there aren't any people around you, it is all your choice. The great thing is we can change what we choose. Turn with me to another verse in Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Tell your neighbor, it's my choice. Proverbs 1:14. It says, cast in your lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path, for their feet run to do evil, and they make haste to shed blood. All right. So notice the onus, the prerogative in verse 15 is on us. Keep your feet from their path. Tell your neighbor, I can do that. See, if we are instructed to do something from the Word of God, that means it is 100% within our power to obey it. All right? Let's ask ourselves, who are your companions? Who are the people that you run with? All right? If someone was going to do a movie and you're going to, you know, have your entourage and your buddies, who are the supporting roles in your life? Who are they? Think about it right now. And the question you have to ask yourself is, are they going to the same place that you're going? I remember one time talking to a friend who's a pastor, and he's really like a father figure to me in my life, and just a dear, dear friend. And I was talking to him about, you know, someone that was in my life, and we were just chatting. This was, oh, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago. And my friend said, you know, he said, this person's not a bad person. He said, but Walker, I don't think they're climbing the same mountain you're climbing. I don't think they're going to the same place you're going. And to keep them so close to your life is going to be a distraction. How many of you have a mountain to climb? How many have a path to follow? Well, who's with you? Turn with me to Acts chapter 4. One way that you can... We're talking about our choices, but we also just kind of want to say, who is it in your life? Who are these people? And I want you to really think about this question right now. If there is if there's bad news that comes into your life, if there's a hurtful situation, if there is something that is threatening your life, all right? It's bad. It's bad news. Ask yourself the question, who are the first three people that you call? Who are the first three people that you send a text to? Who are the first three people that you seek out, either just to inform them or to get their help? Who are those people? Your companions. In Acts chapter 4, it was a very challenging time in the life of the early church. They had been given a commission by the Lord Jesus to go into all the world. They had been endued with power from on high at the upper room on the day of Pentecost. They had received power. And we can see in Acts chapter 2, something changed. Peter was transformed into a different person. And he began to preach, and 3,000 people. It was an instant megachurch in one day. All right? And the Lord kept adding to the church daily those that were saved. All right, so things were happening. James and John were on their way to the temple just to worship the Lord. And here's a lame beggar, and he gets healed instantly in the name of Jesus. And so the same problem that the Pharisees had when Jesus was around is now going on with the disciples. People are excited. People are talking about this new way and this Jesus Christ. And they thought they had gotten rid of the problem, and now they've only expanded the problem. And the very same people that killed Jesus, all right, these people meant business. They knew what they were doing. These very same people brought in Peter and John, and the Bible says that they forbid them to speak in the name of Jesus. Well, that's a big problem, because in Mark 16, Jesus said, go in my name. In my name, you'll cast out devils. In my name. What healed that lame beggar was faith in the name of Jesus. And so without the name of Jesus, the church is finished. It's just a social club. And so after they had received this news, where did they go? And to whom did they run to? Look in Acts chapter 4, verse 23. And being let go, all right, being let go from those that were threatening their lives, the people that were standing in the way of the will of God, and being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they had heard that is their buddies, their companions, they raised their voice to God and with one accord said, Lord, You are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is within them. Let me ask you, when you get bad news and you tell people, do they say, let's pray? Or do they say, let's go sort those people out? Do they say, let's pay a bribe? Let's do something. I can figure this out. Do they just pat you on the back? Do they help you look to God for the answer? Aren't you glad they ran into the right people? Aren't you glad they didn't run into compromising Christians? Well, you know, I think we can just lay low for a few days. You know, let's let them get over their craziness. You know, these Jewish people, you know how they're all worked up. You know, these Pharisees, they're not fair, you see. And so let's just give them some time to cool off. No, they prayed, they lifted up their voices to God and they said, God, stretch out your hand and heal in the name of your holy child, Jesus. And the place where they prayed was shaken. Amen. The people that you hang out with, do they look to God? Do they help you put your attention on Jesus when times are tough? Now, are you doing some inventory? Are you looking around to see who's with you? Who are the people that you call? Now, let me ask you this. And I know I've asked myself this question at various times in my life. The people that are closest to you, ask yourself this question. How did they get there? How did they become close to you? You know, I think sometimes people that are close to us, sometimes it's just by luck or circumstance. There's no thought to it. You know, you work and they work next to you. Oh, that's nice. Or they're your neighbor, or there was just some kind of circumstance that put you together. All right. Now, it's wonderful if you find good people that way, or do you just kind of hang out with those that are hanging out? You know, there's a certain animal that certain types of animals is what they call the herd mentality. And that is if one of them starts running, they don't even know why they're running. They just start running. We just had a couple days in Livingston. We had a wonderful time and we went to the Mosiatunya game park there and the impalas are that way. You know, they're just hanging around. I mean, nobody, they didn't get the memo that there aren't lions at the game park there. So they're scared of everything. And so, you know, they're skittish, but just wait for one of them to run and they all run. And sometimes we're that way. Well, we just kind of have people around us. We don't know how they got there. Did we seek them out? Or maybe they chose us. Maybe there was something that they saw in us. Or did we seek someone out for a friendship? Now, the other thing in life is when we seek out friends and we have people around us, I hope you realize that you don't do this only once. We constantly do this. People more now probably than ever in history are moving around, right? And people kind of sometimes come into your life, and we live in a capital city and people move in and out. You notice people at Miracle Life and we pray for them and they're out here and they're in Malawi and they're in China and there are folks all over the place. But what it means is that they leave our life, but then they go to a new place, now they have to start all over again. They've got to seek out new acquaintances and new friends. Sometimes it's not just physically moving, but you change. Hopefully for the good. And other people don't. Or some people begin to walk away from God, and in walking away from God, they walk away from you. And so this is something that we're going to be doing for the rest of our life, is building the people and the team that's around us. Now, one way that we bring people on our team, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 18. And you say, well, Pastor, how do you choose? Do I just, you know, go up to somebody in church and say, hello, I've chosen you to be my friend. I'd like you to be in my inner circle. Well, maybe after this sermon, they might be a little more akin to do that, but there's a real key way that this happens in our life. Proverbs 18:24. A man who has friends must himself be friendly. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Ask yourself a question. Who are you friendly to? Where does your friendliness get directed to? Who are the people? Because typically those are the people that are going to reciprocate and become your friends. We make these choices. Isn't it interesting that when Jesus came to the earth, if there was anyone in the history of mankind that, in a sense, who had maybe the potential to do life as a solo sport and to go on his own, you would think it would have been Jesus, right? I mean, the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity. The Bible says that he was anointed without measure. All right, he's pretty special, right? But when Jesus came to the earth, he decided, he chose to have people around him. And he ministered to the multitudes. He had friends and he would go and eat in a tax collector's house. But what we see is that there were 12 men that he surrounded himself with that he did life together. Somebody asked me a question the other day. I was having lunch with somebody here at the church. And they said, who's your 12 minus 1? Remember Judas? Who's your 12 minus 1? Who are those people around you? And of those 12, we see that there were James, John, and Peter that were even the closest to him. The three. And then John, arguably, was his best friend. When Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. Now, no, you know, prayer is towards God, right? Notice he didn't go alone. He said, guys, please, would you come with me? I'm facing this incredible decision. I want you to tarry with me. I know I'm talking to God, but I want you to be there with me. My soul is in anguish. And he got mad at him for falling asleep. They let him down. He took a risk. But when Jesus selected these people to be into his life, do you notice he didn't take an ad in the paper? He didn't get on disciples.com. Son of God, desperately seeking 12 good men, must be willing to move, not afraid of hardship, and chances are you will be martyred. You know, please send a face pic, you know, a headshot. No, he didn't do that. He didn't ask for applications. He sought out people. And the night before he did it, he prayed all night. So if Jesus is praying all night about the people who are around him, do you think we should lift up a prayer or two in our choosing process? And so he went and he found these people to be with him. All right. Look at 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2, 22. It's a very easy verse to remember. 2 Timothy 2:22 says, run from anything that stimulates youthful lust. Some of you need to do some more running. Follow anything that makes you want to do right. Pursue faith and love and peace. And notice this. And enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with a pure heart. Enjoy the companionship of those who call upon the Lord with a pure heart. A pure heart. Well, wait a second, Pastor. How do I know their heart? Well, we want to talk about that. And there's kind of two extremes in Christianity when it talks about kind of looking into other people's lives. One extreme is, well, Pastor, God didn't make us the judge. Well, aren't you glad he didn't? He is the righteous judge of the universe, all right? And we're not. Judge not, lest you be judged. So we're not called to judge. He doesn't need our help in those matters. And so there's some that just kind of, everybody's fine, everybody's good, you know, everybody's somewhere close. You know, we all have a part of God in us. We all have something to express. And so they use no discernment at all when it comes to people. And then, on the other hand, there are people that are, you know, they look at everything and they don't allow anyone into their life. So what should we do when it comes to kind of looking at people? Because this says, enjoy the companionship of selected people. Not everybody, but those who call upon the Lord out of a pure heart. Well, how do I know their heart? I can't see their heart. I don't know their motives. All right. Let's look at a few verses that Jesus helped us with in Matthew 7. Then we're going to look at Matthew 12. Matthew 7. Because God tells us not to be a judge, but he commands us to be fruit inspectors. Fruit inspectors. How many of you, when you go to the market and you get vegetables or fruit, you look at it, right? I remember growing up, we ate lots and lots of fruit. And my mom would sniff it, thump it, rattle it, you know. She didn't have psychic powers, you know, but she would try to figure out, is this good fruit? And if you see a little hole and there might be a worm in, you say, thank you, you can have that one back. So we inspect them. So Jesus tells us to be fruit inspectors. Matthew 7, 15. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing. So they kind of look good on the outside, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. You will know them. Notice it doesn't say by their roots you will know them. You see, the roots, I believe, is that which is unseen. And they say for some trees that as tall as the tree goes up, it can go that far or even more under the ground. Now, it's not the same for every type of tree. But there is an extensive root system that you and I don't see. What we do see is what is above the ground. And God commands us to look, to check out, to see what's going on above the surface of people's lives. All right? Look at another verse in Matthew 12. Matthew 12. And what we see is that what is above the ground gives light and exposes what is below the ground. All right? So you can't see someone's heart, but you can see the results of their heart. Matthew 22:33. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure, brings forth evil things. So we're not called to judge someone's heart. We don't know their motives. And see, that's God's arena. And it's very silly for us to try to judge someone's heart and to know their motives, because we just simply don't know. You don't always know why people do what they do. All right? We try to guess, or we try to sometimes extrapolate, but it doesn't work. And I've heard people say this over and over again. And that is, you know, someone who their above ground life is really bad. I mean, it's rotten fruit. It stinks. It is not okay. And someone, because they believe in that person and maybe they want good for that person, and we should, they'll say, oh, but you know what? I know their life is a mess, but they have a good heart. So many times single ladies say this about men. Well, Pastor, you know, I know he's a scoundrel, but he's got a good heart. Ladies, with all sincerity as much as I can. No, he doesn't. He may have a good bank account, but he doesn't have a good heart. Because what's in his heart is exposed above the ground. And this isn't a Bible verse, but somebody sent me this little quote this year, and I just love it. I just love it. And that is, when someone shows you who they are, believe them. Isn't it funny that we don't? Sometimes on the positive and the negative. Someone is just wonderful and kind and loving and I don't know, they've got twisted motive. No, they're... What are they showing? They're showing godliness. They're showing the fruit of the Spirit. Believe them. All right? You shall know them by their fruit. God does not make these choices for us. God doesn't put a light out of heaven and then dong, 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 and there are your three inner circle people. No, we pray, we seek the Lord, but we also scratch and sniff. We go over and we look at the fruit. We see what their life is like. Amen. We listen to the words that are coming out of their heart. What type of a person are they? Amen. Do I want them? Now, we love everybody, right? Jesus loves everybody, but he only picked 12 disciples. 3 in the inner circle and 1 best friend. So God is calling us to be selective. Now, Moses was a leader who did incredible things and took people to great places, the promised land, and faced incredible opposition. But one of the things we see in Moses' life twice, one in Exodus 18 and again in Numbers 11, is that Moses had a problem of isolating himself. He did things alone as a leader. And in both places, he got frustrated. Jethro, his father-in-law, came and said, the thing you're not doing is good. You're going to wear yourself out and the people. You're not going to reach the destination. He said, go select men. And then he told them what to look for. He told Moses, go find men who hate covetousness, that fear the Lord. He didn't give them a list of names. He said, go find people that look like this. And then in Numbers 11, Jethro wasn't around, but thank God, God was around. And so Moses was on suicide watch. He said, God, just kill me. I can't. The people were complaining about meat. He said, God, did I give birth to these people? Did I bear them? And he just said, God, get me out of here. If I have found favor in your sight, kill me. Most of us want a new job, right? When we found favor, hallelujah, quachamania, we want favor, right? Well, no, he says, I just want to die. Give me favor, Lord. And so God said, no, Moses, we're not going to die. But he said, go find the people that you know that are elders and take them to the tent of the meeting. And the spirit that I put on you, I'll put on them. But it's so interesting. I just find this incredible. God did not give him a list of people. Could he have given him a list? Right, he's God, right? He's God. But he said, no, Moses, you go find the people and I'll anoint your choices. But he told him again what to look for. In Proverbs 31, this was my favorite chapter of the Bible until age 23. That was the year I got married, all right? And really what it is a checklist for young men. It is a checklist. Making a list, checking it twice. Gonna find out who's naughty or nice. All right? And the world gives us another checklist, but this was Solomon's mother, Bathsheba, who was saying, the son of my youth, he said, here's what to look for in a woman. And I remember hearing someone preach on this, Pastor Bob Yandian, when I was about 17 years old. And I began to realize, he just said, you need, young men, you need to study that and have that before your eyes so that that becomes what you look for. And again, The Bible says, he that finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. What does find mean? Amen. It means that God anoints the looking process. All right? The inspection process. Amen? Now, women, this is just as applicable for you. Amen? And that is that, and really that's what we do. We get to know someone until we find out more about them. And if we like what we know, we carry on a little bit more. Yeah, I like what I know. I would like to know more. Amen? Until we finally stand right there and look Pastor William or Pastor Walker in the eye and say, I take this woman to be my lawful wife. Right? But you don't do it. There might be love. People talk about love at first sight. And it makes for nice movies, but it's not real. Love is based on knowledge. Love is based on what you know. Love is based on what you find out. Amen? So, we see in the Bible that you pick those that are going to help you, your leaders. Paul told Timothy, look for these things in a deacon, in a bishop, in a pastor, in an elder. All right? We choose a wife. Now, let's look at Genesis 24. Genesis 24. This is when Abraham wanted to have a godly wife for his son Isaac. All right? And he said, I don't want my son to marry one of the Canaanites. Not because they were too tall or too short. It was because they were unbelievers. Amen? That's the criteria. And so we know that they find Rebecca. And so it was a very supernatural thing that happened in Genesis 24. And Abraham's servant went there. And God was involved in this coming together. But notice, Rebecca's family came to her, and we realize God is involved in this. But they said to her in verse 57, we will call the young woman and ask her personally. Then they called Rebecca and said to her, will you go with this man? What were they asking her? You've got a choice, Rebecca. We believe this is a good choice. We believe that God is in it. But ultimately, it's your choice. Will you go with this man? And she said, I will go. Amen. So we choose the people around us. We choose our spouse. We choose our friends. We choose our church, don't we? Amen. A church where we grow. A church where hopefully we are progressing in God. Amen. And let me just tell you, If one day you find out that you're not growing in God at Miracle Life, find a church where you will grow. Amen? Because we want you to grow. And if you need to find a new place to grow, God bless you. Amen? We'll miss you. All right? But don't stay somewhere just because God told me to go here. Well, no, he wants you to flourish in the Lord, the Bible says, at a church. And so in our membership class, we tell you what we believe. We tell you we speak in tongues. We tell you all these different things. And then we say, it's up to you. If you want to be a part of this church, you are most welcome. If you say no, we love you anyway. All right, so we make choices in life. I remember, and see, I used to not think that this was the case. I used to kind of think that God made our choices. And that God, in a sense, forced his will upon you. And when I was a young person, and I knew I was called into the ministry, at 16 years old, I went to Kenya. I knew I was called to this continent. And I realized, you know what? I'm going to probably need a special wife who's going to live this kind of crazy life with me. It's not just everybody that wants to leave their family 17,000 miles away and raise their kids in a land that they've never lived in. So I, I'd heard some testimonies in this, and I, honest to goodness, I was just expecting that there was going to be this supernatural experience where kind of just like the movies. You know, you're in a crowded place and all of a sudden, then I saw her face, you know, and there's this, you know, the hallelujah chorus breaks out, dun, 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 you know, and she looks and then there's this divine ray of light and, you know, and I really kind of thought that was how it was going to work. You know, maybe they would be levitated, you know, out of the crowd or something like that. And so I'm 16 years old, 17 years old, 18 years old. It's just not happening for me. All right. And then I go to a Christian college and then I meet this wonderful lady named Haley Gould. And I got to know her. Amen. Hallelujah. And just to be honest, it wasn't the fact that she was carrying a Bible that caught my attention. It was her blue eyes that got my attention. Right? Our family, we don't have blue eyes. We're all brown eyes, a whole family. So that's what got my attention. I wish I could say, you know, I heard her pray and I was really attracted to her spiritualness, but it was her blue eyes, okay? And so she caught my attention and I got to know her and I got to know her a little more. And everything about her, I liked more than what I knew before. And then I had my Proverbs 31 checklist. And she was, as we say, she was all of that. I mean, she loved people. She cared for people that were hurting. She is the hardest working person I literally have ever met in my life. I didn't know how she would raise our kids, but I mean, she had character. And I just kept seeing all these wonderful things. But here was the problem. There was no voice. The skies had not parted and said, my beloved son, here is your wife. It didn't happen. So I waited and I was so fearful of missing God. You know, and missing God and, you know, oh, this person's going to ruin my life. And, you know, I'm called to a ministry and, you know, what if they're a Jezebel in sheep's clothing and. So I was just in fear. And I remember, I'll never forget. It was, you know, Pastor Moses Sona talked about some of the great days of our life. That we remember certain days. This was a great day in my life. I was at Rhema Bible Training Center in the States. And my pastor, Pastor Hagen and his wife, they teach a class called The Minister's Family. And they teach it together. And they were just and they were talking about single people getting married. And Pastor Hagen made a statement. He said, what the Bible teaches is it's your choice. You know, and I thought, wait a second. And then he said, yeah, you choose. You look for something, but ultimately it's your choice. God's not going to force you out of your will to marry somebody. And I thought, can this be true? I looked in the best, sure enough. And I remember, now this is when the hallelujah chorus went off. I remember going outside in the parking lot thinking, if this is my choice, I've already made my choice. So I went and got a ring, asked her to marry me. And as they say, the rest is history. In May of this year, we'll be married 20 years. But it's my choice. Now, she had to respond. She had to say yes. There was no prophet that brought us together. Yay, my daughter. Yay, my son. At Rhema, second year, we have a prophet's class. And we make if you want to prophesy, make sure you always use the word yay. Because then it's, you got, no, I'm just kidding. All right. No. The people that you have in your life today, you've chosen them to be there. It's your choice. Now, there may have been an orchestration and maybe like Rebecca, God was really involved in it, but at the end of the day, you have to make the choice. You have to pull the lever. You have to tick. You have to say yes or no. And so today, just look around you, look in your life. Who are the people that are there? You've chosen for them to be there. And maybe you're thinking, Pastor, you know what? I've kind of grown with the Lord. and my friends haven't. And I think I've got some choices to make. You know, there was my best friend growing up, our families were very, very close. And we did a lot of stuff together. And we would drive to school together and we would do things together. And our families are still very close. And we're just kind of inseparable. We just did everything together. We had a lot of the same tastes and likes, and we just hung out a lot. And my high school years, I wasn't living for God, and he was really a stronger Christian than I was. But he kind of got in the wrong crowd, and he just drifted away to where, when I talked to him later, he really didn't believe, you know, in salvation, in Jesus. And he was a real Christian influence in my life. And guess what? He couldn't be my best friend anymore. We had to drift, because either I'm going to influence him or he's going to influence me. My influence didn't work. And so I had to move on without him. Let me read to you a quote from Colin Powell. He said, "Wise is the person who fortifies his life with the right friendships. If you run with wolves, you will learn how to howl. But if you associate with eagles, you will learn how to soar to great heights. A mirror reflects a man's face, but what he really is like is shown by the kind of friends he chooses. The simple but true fact of life is that you can become like those whom you closely associate for the good and the bad." I think he read something about Proverbs, didn't he? So it's really simple today. Is on purpose, choose to associate and to hang out and to walk together with people whose actions show godliness. I'm not talking about church attendance. I'm not talking about a fish lapel pin. I'm not talking about they know the hallelujah lingo. Their actions show godliness. And on purpose, choose those people. And on purpose, avoid those whom the Bible refers to as fools. And next week we're going to see that checklist. This year, your life can take another course. And just like the tongue is a rudder, it changes your direction. So will the people in your life move you one way or another. And I think what I've said today, I think we all know this. If we look back in our life, some of the good paths that we've taken, some of the mistakes that we've made, many, many times it's been with the people that we've associated with. Amen. Would you bow your heads with me right now? Father, Lord, there are a number of us here today, and we have a lot of different influences in our life. We've come from different places. Father, I pray for Christians today who really are seeking you and going forward with you. And they want to achieve your purposes and make it to the end. Father, I ask that you would open our eyes to see the good people that maybe are around us that we haven't identified or we haven't brought on board. Father, help us to recognize the godliness in others and to walk with those people. Father, I pray for, Lord, Christians that are new or just discovering their faith in you. Lord, that right now is a tender time in their life and their development in you. But Father, if they're really honest, they realize that although their faith in you has changed, their friends have not. Their friends are still going a different way. Their friends are not interested in their new destination, in their new lifestyle, in their new values, and their new way of looking at life. Father, I pray that these folks would have the courage, Lord, not to reject or to hurt people, but Lord, to simply find new friends that will influence their life for good. Lord, we know from your word that you said it's not good that we should be alone. We need each other. We need the grace that others have for our life. And I would just ask you right now, just with heads bowed, eyes closed, just begin to pray. Just begin to pray. I believe God wants to help you make some choices right now. He wants to help you. He wants to help you right now. So just open up your heart to Him. And I believe the Holy Spirit is already showing you some things of maybe some really godly people that you've neglected. And some ungodly people that need to be not as close to you as they are right now. Talk to Him right now. These decisions that you make about this stuff, this is how you end up where you are in life. This is whether you reach the end. They determine your blessing. And it's your choice right now. Right now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We choose life. We choose you. We choose your path. Help us, Lord. Thank you, Father. Right now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ came to this earth, and He didn't come to start a new world religion. He didn't come to give you a list of things to do. He came to be your friend. He came to walk with you. He came to change your life. He came to fill that emptiness that's on the inside that nothing will ever fill. Not money, not pleasure. Things maybe that you've tried to hide, that feeling on the inside. Only Jesus Christ can fill that. Philosophy, education won't fill it. But if you're here today and you say, Pastor, Jesus is not my friend. He's not my Savior, my Lord. You see, He's made it possible. He paid for your sins. He received your judgment. But just like God does with all of our life, He lets you choose. And that Bible says, how could we reject so great a salvation? So God's reaching out to you right now. And if you've never made that decision, you can today. You can make Jesus Christ your friend, your Lord, your Savior, to follow Him. Or perhaps you are a Christian, you're a believer, but your life is backslidden. You've turned away from Him. And you're left with the fruit of a lot of bad decisions and a lot of sin. But today you can turn. You can come home. You can come to Him. And if that's you, you can make a decision today. And I'd invite you to do that. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I'm ready. I need to make that decision you're talking about. I need Jesus to be my best friend. He's not. I don't know Him. Or I need to come back to Him. I'd like to personally pray with you. And wherever you are right now in this auditorium, would you simply lift up your hand? You say, Pastor, that's me. I need to know Jesus. I need for Him to be my Lord and Savior. I'm choosing Him right now. God bless you. Yes. Anyone else? Say, Pastor, that's me. I need to come home from a place of sin and rebellion. I want to choose Him now. Anyone else? Say, Pastor, that's me. Please, I want to pray that prayer with you. Anyone else before we pray? Before we pray, anyone else? All right. Could we all stand to our feet? If you would, please, just stand to your feet. If you lifted up your hand, or you should have lifted up your hand, would you just come and meet me up front? Just come and meet me up front. I want to pray with you. God bless you so much. Let's just let you. We love you. Thank God for your decision. Thank you so much. Anyone else before we pray? Anyone else? Now, you've come to God, not to me or to a person, and He's going to do exactly what He said He'll do in your life. Amen. This is going to be a brand new day for you, a brand new path. All right. Would you bow your heads and pray with our young brother here? Say this with me. Say, Father, I come to you now and I ask you. I open up my heart to you. Forgive me. I follow you now, Jesus. Be my Lord and Savior. Be my best friend. Thank you, Jesus, that you died for me. You were punished for my sin. You were raised from the dead. And I now follow you. I leave everything to follow you. I leave sin. I leave rebellion. And I follow you now. And I thank you that you'll never leave me. You'll always be with me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Wonderful, wonderful. We want to pray with you. If you would just go with Patricia, we want to give you a book.